the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. It's a soggy Tuesday along the lakeshore, but the holiday looks promising weather-wise. We'll take a look at Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com following this news. The recovery of a Grand Rapids area paramedic in the waters of Lake Michigan continues. Ottawa County Sheriff's Lieutenant Steve Kempker said that efforts ended around 7 o'clock last night to find the body of John English.
The Ottawa County Sheriff's Office, assisted by the Muskegon County Sheriff's Office and the Norton Shores Fire Department, conducted a search of an area of Lake Michigan north of the Grand Haven Channel using side-scan sonar and underwater camera equipment.
The 47-year-old Walker man is presumed drowned after diving off of a pleasure craft about three-quarters of a mile from the shore near the Grand Haven Channel and floundering at about 45 feet of 64-degree water on Sunday afternoon. A sparkler vigil by friends and colleagues of Life EMS at the Grand Haven Pier was held last night. Kempker said that Ottawa County Sheriff's crews were back in the waters today to resume the search. A brother and a sister, perhaps on the way back from that Electric Forest concert series in Rothbury, apparently triggered a four-vehicle pileup south of Grand Haven last evening. According to Ottawa County Sheriff Sergeant Brian Buter, 21-year-old Chase Anoush of Lafayette, Indiana, admitted nodding off while driving his SUV southbound on U.S. 31 and approaching Ferris Street.
He struck a vehicle in the rear passenger area while in the inside lane. After that, his vehicle was thrown into the outside lane where he struck a second vehicle. And then his vehicle maneuvered back to the inside lane where he struck a third vehicle.
Anoush and the other three drivers involved were not hurt, but his 28-year-old sister, Lessa Ledbetter of Tucson, Arizona, suffered minor injuries that required treatment at North Ottawa Community Hospital. Buer added that alcohol did not appear to be a factor in the crash, but that Anoush was ticketed for careless driving. The old adage of things not as bad as it could have been, nor as good as it could be used to describe the gasoline price situation as the Independence Day holiday approaches. Fears of $5 per gallon fuel when rates were at record highs nearly a month ago have vanished, but hopes that it could go down before the $3 mark by the 4th have also been dashed. According to GasBuddy.com's Greg Glaskowski, the refinery issues that led to the price spike in June have also been the reason for the sharp drop since then.
Their output has reached 88% in the past week, and that's significant because just about at the end of June, they were underperforming the rest of the country. They were as low as 78%. So to see them up where they are right now is welcome news.
This morning's $3.38 per gallon average, 7 cents below what was seen a year ago during the 4th. But reports later on this morning of spikes up to around $3.60 a gallon means that the good times, quote-unquote, are over. You may remember this classic line from Jack Webb.
You have the right to the presence of an attorney. If you cannot afford one, one will be appointed before any questioning.
Well, in Michigan, efforts to make this more accessible are now law.
Legislation to bring reforms and improvements to indigent defense in Michigan were signed into law by Governor Snyder on Monday. Shelley Weisberg, ACLU of Michigan Legislative Director, explains what the bill means.
Basically, it's a bill that would set up a Michigan Indigent Defense Council through the Supreme Court, and that council would develop the standards by which each county should be measured to determine whether or not they're providing constitutional defense service, criminal defense services for indigent people. And the counties, to the extent those counties were not providing the services that were deemed constitutional, they would have to put a plan in place to show how they were going to get to that level of service. And then the Michigan Indigent Defense Council would be able to offer grants of money so that those to help those counties get to the level so that they were meeting our constitutional requirements.
The commission created by this legislation will be housed within the judicial branch of state government and consist of 15 members appointed by the governor with the recommendations of the legislature, Supreme Court, the state bar, and representing interests from the criminal justice system. Diane Costin, WHTC News.
It's no holiday yet for Governor Snyder as he continues a take-a-vote, not-a-vacation campaign to spur the state Senate to act on his Healthy Michigan initiative that centers on Medicaid expansion.
Michigan Republican Party Chair Bobby Shostak says a team of Republican senators will work on a Senate version of the legislation, which the House passed last month.
Senator Richardville is very much interested in having his caucus debate and discuss an appropriate Medicaid bill for Michigan that meets the needs of all Michiganders and addresses some of the things that the governor's raised and some of the things that his caucus has raised and also the bill that the House put forward.
A Senate vote on Medicaid expansion in the state could be taken up in August.
Sam Harold, WHTC News.
Amanda Price of Park Township in the House had approved the measure last month.
When I took a look at the numbers and the reforms in that legislation, I could support it. I don't like Obamacare. I wish it never had been put in place. Facing that reality, though, I think we have to do the best we can for the citizens.
Price made her remarks in an appearance yesterday on WHTC's Talk of the Town program with host Juke Van Oss. It appears to be a short break for Congress during this holiday, as Representative Fred Upton of St. Joseph and his colleagues in both the House and Senate have plenty to deal with when they return to Washington next week, including immigration reform that passed in the Senate and is now before the House Judiciary Committee.
They're looking at probably taking this bill piecemeal to a degree, passing a number of different elements. We may get to some of them yet this month, July, but at the end of the day, whatever the House does, it will be different than the Senate bill. That's usually the case.
The student loan issue remains unresolved, and Upton added he didn't think Congress would immediately address measures in the Voting Rights Act that were struck down by last week's U.S. Supreme Court decision. House members will also be dealing with the Farm Bill. And Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow of Lansing isn't too happy with the lower chambers these days.
Stabenow says it's a shame that the U.S. House last week failed to pass the new Farm Bill. The chamber rejected the plan after several amendments were added by Republicans to restrict food assistance to the poor. That left both Republicans and Democrats alike unhappy with their version of what the Senate had originally drafted. Senator Stabenow says this means many programs related to conservation, nutrition, farming, and even the Great Lakes are on hold.
The thing that's so unfortunate about this is that this actually has been very bipartisan all the way through. We had over 70 folks that voted to move our bill forward, and big bipartisan support in the Senate. The committee in the House had a bipartisan support. It's the Republican leadership of the House that has been really a problem on this.
So she says it's back to the drawing board to see if something can't be drafted that a majority can support. Congress also failed to pass a farm bill last year. Andrew Green reporting.
R.A. Dickey allowed six hits with four strikeouts over seven innings as Toronto beat the visiting Tigers yesterday 8-3. Jim Leland's Detroiters have lost three straight and six out of seven to fall a half game back of Cleveland in the AL Central race.
We just haven't been producing any runs. You know, runs have been a problem for us, and, you know, that's probably much sums it up.
The series at Rogers Center continues tonight. Coverage with Dan Dickerson and Jim Price on 1450 WHTC begins at 6:40 p.m. Idle yesterday, both of Chicago's teams return to action in openers, a three-game series this evening, with Darwin Barney and the Cubs in Oakland.
We have a really good team. I think we've underperformed. We've hurt ourselves in scoring position opportunities. But, you know, overall, we've played pretty well throughout the season. We've just lost some games that I think we shouldn't have lost.
Well, back home in Chicago, Tyler Flowers and the White Sox welcome Baltimore to U.S. Cellular Field.
We just got to keep grinding out, you know. Come to work every day ready to work hard and play hard. And, you know, I think we're doing that. And we're just not winning.
The Whitecaps have dropped five straight after a 6-1 thumping at the hands of visiting Bowling Green yesterday. Taylor Gary gave up six hits with three strikeouts over six innings for the Hot Rods. West Michigan starts a brief two-game series at Dow Diamond in Midland versus the Great Lakes Loons this evening. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com calls for rain this afternoon and a high of 77. Showers tonight, low 63. A few morning showers tomorrow, then clearing and a high of 81. Partly cloudy Thursday, high 80. This news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.